Hi all, my name is Dan Aramini and I'm proud to be your lay preacher today. I'm not sure it works both ways, but I'm proud to be your lay preacher today. As many of you know, I am the middle school youth group leader, and they're scattered around, and they're an extraordinary group of kids, and they are very tolerant of me nudging them out of their comfort zones, and today they kind of get the revenge. They suggested that since I was going to preach today that I should kind of go for it regarding my costume. And while it is cozy, dressing up as a giant blue Yeti to preach nudges me outside of my comfort zone too. So thank you, kids. Everybody should be so lucky enough to have such good coaches in their lives. I would also like to thank all of you for stepping up to the costume invitation, even if it's not your favorite thing to do. Congregations thrive when they can pray, work, and play together, especially when different styles are incorporated, including the occasional Yeti costume in the sanctuary. It reminds me of the Jewish holiday of Purim. In preparation for their most solemn and holy period, they use Purim to dress in costume and be irreverent. It actually helps them to put their reverence into perspective and be more impactful. If our unusual outfits lead you to a conversation today, here or during coffee hour, or an interaction with some of you don't know very well at all, it will make us closer and stronger and closer to God. I acknowledge you for being brave enough to be part of it. So what makes us brave? Sometimes it's having a supportive group. For example, if you're not sure if you should volunteer for lunch in the park, Carol's Closet, or the choir, you should feel a little bit braver knowing how supportive those groups will be. That is certainly the case at Heads of Hartford, where the kids and adults try on what it's like to live in a supportive, less judgmental world, even for just 1 week. They even got me to sing in the talent show, which was a first for me. They were there for me, and I was there for them. Sometimes we are braver when we're anonymous. In her book, The Art of Gathering, Priya Parker describes a phenomenon called the stranger spirit, where it's often easier to do and say things when no one knows you. She writes, "With strangers, there is a temporary reordering and balancing which we are constantly attempting between our past selves and our future selves, between who we have been and who we're becoming. For example, volunteering somewhere that you are completely unknown can sometimes be a breakthrough event. Another thing that makes us brave is an aspiration, a strong belief, or a dream that is bigger than ourselves. It compels us to stand, to make a stand, a commitment, or an effort that we might not ordinarily do. We see this throughout the Bible in our lives as well. Think about Luke's gospel and the sending of the 72 disciples. Jesus says, "Go, I am sending you out like lambs before wolves." So clearly, this was not going to be an easy task. For the 72 disciples, they had all three of those bravery elements there. They were supported as they traveled in pairs. They were strangers as they were headed away from their homes. And they were inspired by a strong commitment to Jesus. What is it that compels you? That feels important, that might require a little courage? I'm not really sure where the summer went, but tomorrow is Halloween, and then on Tuesday, it's All Saints Day. Saints come in all flavors, but what they do have in common is at some point in their lives, they displayed a strong commitment and a faith in God. Some might have been very brave, but others were just who they were. In our weekly e-blast, Reverend Don often greets us with, "Good morning, Saints." While he does have a mischievous twinkle in his eyes, he is not really trying to pull our leg on this one. He is calling out a truth that most of us are reluctant to admit, even to ourselves. Many of us grew up with the idea that the subset of saints was really quite small and that they all reside in heaven. They were miraculous people on a level seemingly far beyond our own. In Colossians 1, Paul begins his letter by saying, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren of the Church of Colossae, grace to you and peace from our God the Father." So they were just people in the congregation. So think of that. By being a member of this congregation and the larger Christian community, you are already a saint. I will leave it up to you whether or not you will update your resume to include saint. You know, does some broader sainthood get bestowed on us when we enter heaven? I'm not really sure, but it does cause me to think about the Apostles' Creed. In it, we profess that we believe in the communion of saints, the belief that all Christians that ever lived, are living, and will ever be, are bound together in one communion, the body of Christ, and that those who have gone before us connect us tightly to God through prayer. Maybe some saints get notoriety. We think of Christopher for travelers, Francis for animals, Joan of Arc in France, and our own James for fishermen. But most of the saints that I commune with knew me and loved me personally. Deceased parents, grandparents, spouses, siblings, children, and friends. I think that our departed relatives and friends do most of the heavy lifting in the communing department. They are certainly the saints with whom I commune most often and most deeply. Do I know how it works? No. Is my life better because of it, and do I feel closer to God? Yes. I also wondered if there are rules or norms associated with us all being in the Saints Club here at St. James. Do you just have to darken the doorway every once in a while, or better yet, just appear in the parish directory? Actually, that's a pretty good start. As soon as you label something, a certain power is generated. The good news is that I think that the Saints Club doesn't necessarily have rules, but rather aspirations. The bad news is that the aspirations are not always easy for us humans. I read ahead in the Gospel, and voila, on Tuesday, All Saints Day, Jesus summarizes things for us in the Sermon on the Plain, especially at the end. He goes through all the blessed are's and the woe to's, and maybe he and we and the crowd are a little confused and still processing what he was saying. So Jesus looks us pretty metaphorically in the eye and makes it easy for us. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, and anyone who strikes you, offer the other cheek as well. And anyone who takes your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes your goods, do not ask for them. Do unto others as you would have done to you. And I kind of wish that he closed with, and you know what I'm saying, so don't even look for loopholes, right? You know, because like we're gonna try and find some way around it, right? So snap. For those of you keeping score at home, this Yeti doesn't always do very well on the checklist. The nice part about being in the Saints Club is that Jesus understands that and tries to guide us in the right direction. In today's gospel, Jesus identifies little Zacchaeus up in the tree. Zacchaeus does not seem to be checking any of the saint boxes from the Sermon on the Plain, but a brief encounter with Jesus has a profound effect and leads to his salvation. There are many ways to look for Jesus. For Zacchaeus, it meant making an extra effort to climb a tree. We probably don't need to climb a sycamore tree. For us, it may be adding a prayer to our day, maybe saying a more earnest grace, or giving a little more respect or love to people who make us uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. I always seem to come back to the concept of uncomfortable. More and more, I'm beginning to think that uncomfortable is just an invitation from Jesus. Dan, come down from that tree. I need to stay at your house tonight. Dan, come down from that tree. I need you to feed someone who is hungry. I need you to be there for someone who needs comforting. I need you to be kinder. So, you're a saint, and you looked for Jesus, and you found him, and he made a request of you. You are already pretty brave and might be up to that challenge, but how would you do it? How would you operationalize that faith if you had a double dose of bravery, like you were twice as brave as you are now? The idea probably scares you a little bit because you're not quite sure, but it probably makes you smile at the same time. If you had a double dose of bravery, what one thing, just one thing, might you do for one person, maybe just one time? And the only one really in the way of that happening is you or ourselves. Use any of the three tips on bravery that I was talking about before, and that might help you get past where you are and keep you unstuck. So support, anonymity, passion. Look around you now and let one of your fellow saints support you in some way, even if it was just to encourage you, even if that requires a bit of bravery. So I'm going to give you a little gift right now. I'd like you all to close your eyes. Now think of one thing that you can do to up your game as a saint. Make it small, and specific. We're not talking about ending world hunger or anything like that. If you are feeling brave enough during coffee hour, tell someone what it is. In the future, be generous and share your success or your difficulties. If you're not feeling brave enough to share it, conjure up an image of me as a giant blue Yeti here in the pulpit, and maybe that'll make you feel a little braver. Maybe your task will seem a little easier by comparison. You can open your eyes, and hopefully the Spirit will be with you. Garments, masks, costumes, and how we adorn ourselves are all earthly effects. In the Bible, Jesus wears a tunic and sandals. Clearly, he is not an earthly king. He also sees right through things. He knows that you are one of his imperfect human saints. Make the slightest effort to look for him, and he will find you. So stay brave, my saints.